Excuse me, Sonny! Do you know where I can find some booty?
Oh, 15 past the hour. DJ Ryan McMunn at the controls here. See, I think he's making a suggestion as we welcome in our first guest of the day, Aaron Suttles from the Tuscaloosa News and Tidesports.com. What do you think the reaction would be at Bryant-Denny Stadium if McMunny were to get him to crank that up after a big play?
Oh, I love it. Can that be my all-time buffer music?
I got no problem with that. Look, as good as you are to us, as long as it fits within FCC guidelines, you got whatever music you want. So that's official. It is so decreed from this point forward until you decide you want something else. That's your walk-up music, Coach.
Well, we can play around with it, but I certainly like the energy it's bringing me as I come into this segment.
Ran into you yesterday outside Coleman Coliseum. You had you just walked out of the Malmore Athletic Facility, and you were talking, or I told you that I'd retweeted your story out about the music at Bryant-Denny and the fact that it had changed a little bit, the reaction that the players seemed to have, and you were talking about the reaction you got on that story. It was great. It was a really creative piece that you wrote. But I bet I had more than 20 plus responses to that story as well. And all I did was, send back out what you had written. So it was, I would imagine, a rather interesting day for you.
Yeah, it certainly struck a chord with the fans, and with the players too. It was just a silly question I had. I got two questions into Nick Saban yesterday, asked my first one, and then thought, hey, Nick Saban, the thing that strikes me about Nick Saban is that there's nothing by accident done in his program. And I've often thought, with a guy that has such total control and a person in charge of almost every aspect of the program, I started thinking, is there someone that controls the music? Because, and it's more than just during the game. I was thinking about it mainly as a point to the recruits, the high school recruits that are on the sideline. Do you play music for them? Do you want them to... You think about that, and it seems to me that Nick Saban thinks about everything in his program. So I was wondering, listen, I don't think Nick Saban sits down with the marketing department and starts listing songs. But what I wanted to know is there's someone in the program, in the football offices, that thinks about that. And it turns out there is, and Scott Cochran and Jeff Purinton, they meet with a group of UA officials every week of home games, and they think about stuff like that. So Nick Saban probably doesn't know who Snoop Dogg is, probably doesn't care who Snoop Dogg is, but the thing that struck me with the story and the people reacting is they appreciate the upbeat music, and not so much that I've gotten a lot of responses that, hey, I don't like that kind of music, but the players like it, and I like watching the players having fun, and that makes it more fun for me, and it makes it easier for me to cheer. And that was kind of the point, that it built... The music selection built an atmosphere inside Bryant-Denny Stadium that fed the players, which fed the fans, and led to a great environment.
I sound more and more like my father every day, okay? Because I'm getting older and all of that, but I'm amazed at how things change in a five year period. You just wouldn't have. The jumping around on the sidelines. You remember when so much was made about that, and people to a degree laughed at Georgia when during the blackout game they had the dog pound and all that, bouncing on the sidelines before kickoff and all of that, and then Alabama scores 31 on them in the first half, and that stuff came to an end. Well, it's more often than not that you see that in college football now, which. I think you're dead on the money. If you're an older person, you may not like it. Guess what? It's not for you. We want you to enjoy the fan experience, but the greatest experience that fans can have at their home games is to see their team win. So those guys having fun, getting the job done, and kind of feeding off that's something that is, I think, a little different spin on things than what you used to see.
Absolutely. And I need to point out, too, that there was no lyrics with the music that I was referencing. It was just the beat.
Right.
And the baseline, and that it just seemed that the players heard it, especially when you saw it on defense with the defensive line. They start jumping up and down and waving to the crowd. and the crowd immediately reacts, and it makes an atmosphere that does that make a difference in wins and losses? Probably not, but it made the plays louder, which had to make it more difficult for Dak Prescott and the Mississippi State offense to operate, and that's the whole point of a home field advantage and maximizing that. And part of that is the atmosphere, and the atmosphere is driven by how the players play, how they react, and how the players play and react sometimes, especially how they react, you know, emotionally, is driven by some of the music that's played and some of the videos that are played. So I just thought it was a fun question. I wouldn't ask during Mississippi State week or Auburn week or Tennessee week, but for Western Carolina, I thought that was the appropriate time to ask about it. And I've had a lot of fun with it, and the fans certainly appreciate it.
And just to make sure that people don't forget, they'll probably be listening a little bit more, a little closer ear than they had before if they didn't already notice. But let's not forget, the folks at Crimson Tide Productions and the athletic department, make sure they give equal time, because I guarantee you we play more Michael Jackson in the time leading up to kickoff than most other schools around the country. And that's no coincidence, knowing who one of the top three on Nick Saban's playlist happens to be.
Yeah, it was funny. When I prefaced my question, I said, this is an off-the-wall question, and that just so happens to be one of Michael Jackson's albums. So he didn't pick up on that. But, yeah, they did, you know, there's nothing done by mistake. There's a lot of work that goes into that game atmosphere from the videos that are chosen to be played. There's a lot of people that create those videos. Christopher England, a lot of those talented people that work inside the offices there at the university. So a lot goes into it, and they're never recognized, and they don't want recognition. That's their job. But a lot goes into creating that game atmosphere, and I just thought it was fun that, you know, the fans, the players had such a positive reaction to some of the work that normally goes unnoticed.
Tuscaloosa News, Alabama beat writer and music critic Aaron Suttles joining us here on Tide 99.1, joining us as all of our guests do on the Budweiser Hotline presented by Green Beverage. The game itself Saturday, I thought, because of when it came, who it was against, may have been every bit as impressive as the blowout of Texas A&M. What was your take on it?
My main takeaway from that game is just the continued progression of that Alabama defense. It's a nasty group. And you can look at the final touchdown and the final score. Alabama was trying to drain clock. They weren't trying to let them score quickly, so they gave up a lot of easy passes, and that added to the score. But you're talking about an offense that had moved up and down the field on nearly everyone they played. And against Alabama, it was tough sledding for Dak Prescott and Josh Robinson. Alabama's defensive line, as I thought coming into the season, it just continues to impress me. Jonathan Allen, A'shaun Robinson, DJ Pettway, Dalvin Tomlinson, all those guys up front, they're tough to run on, and they make it very difficult for an offense to have balance. And so that's a good sign, because it's been good all year. It seems like it's reaching its peak now. Even when you look at a senior safety like Nick Perry, co-defensive player of the week. Who would have thought that, 4 or 5 weeks ago? They're just all rising to the level of play. Cyrus Jones continues to play well. Eddie Jackson's coming around. We've talked about Reggie Ragland at length. Just an impressive defense, and that was my main takeaway. I think the offense did enough, and for the second week in a row, when they had to have something, when they absolutely had to have a drive, they put it together. And that's impressive. That speaks a lot about the composure with the 11 guys on offense, and mainly about Blake Sims, that, you know, he's done it 2 weeks in a row now. His confidence has to be soaring, and that's a good thing as you head down the stretch of your season.
You talk about the development and progression of guys. I think back to 12 months ago with Cyrus Jones, who was far from alone in this category but was a liability on defense, becoming, as Coach Saban himself described a week ago, the top cover corner that they have on this football team right now. And look, he had one heck of a challenge on Saturday against Darunya Wilson, and I know he got his, so to speak, but he didn't get all he wanted, and I thought that was absolutely huge.
I think he's the most improved player on the team. Now, I don't have anything to back that up. I don't get to watch the coaches all 22 film. But when I look at him, he's a completely different player than he was last year. The fans, that may sound strange to the fans, because I get it. The only time that you ever really notice a cornerback is when he gets beat. You don't notice the play where they don't throw his way because he's got good coverage. You may notice that he knocks the ball away every now and again, but fans typically only notice a cornerback when they get beat. Well, that's part of football. Quarterbacks are going to get beat. You know, the other guys on the other side have scholarships for a reason. But, you know, to go up against a Ronnie Wilson, to go up against the most talented wide receiver week in and week out, to accept that challenge, and, oh, hey, by the way, I used to be a wide receiver, you know, I'm converted over to the defensive side of the ball, that he did that for the team, and then he's thrived in it. He's welcomed the challenge, and he's now thriving. That says a lot about Cyrus Jones, man. Those are the stories that that don't get told enough, because he's just a completely different player than he was last year. And it says that. You know, Nick Saban said that. His teammates have said that. You know, coming into the spring, Nick Saban said that about Eddie Jackson. Eddie Jackson was their top corner. Well, now Cyrus is, and Eddie's back healthy. So that speaks to how much improvement that Cyrus has made from last year to this year.
Last year, the last 3 years, actually, Alabama's been in a really good spot in terms of its punter. Cody Mandel, I thought, was tremendous, and as we talked about, got better and better and better each year. I just can't remember, and I've said this on the show, I can't remember a time when a better player has been forgotten quicker than Cody because of what J.K. has done in taking on that role.
It's simply astounding. I mean, a true freshman to consistently perform that well week in and week out. I mean, it's only news now when he kind of hits a bad one and it doesn't go 50 yards.
Right.
You know, fans are more shocked. The biggest thing to me, I don't know if the fans caught it in the stadium or on television, but Alabama let a rusher through on a punt late in the game.
Yeah.
And J.K.'s motion never changed. He never looked at him. He just finished the delivery and had a great punt. And a lot of people might have bailed on there.
Right.
And tried to run forward or pull it down and kept it again. But he kept his mechanics and the way he's taught, and he got it out. And that was a huge play in the game. So he's become a weapon. He flips field position regularly. You know, I think in the first half on Saturday, Mississippi State's average starting field position was the 15th. And that's all J.K. Scott. I mean, some of it's offense for keeping, you know, making a few first downs rather than going three and out. But when your punter can consistently put the opponents inside their own 20, it makes it very difficult for an offense to sustain drive. That's what you saw in the first half. That's why Mississippi State only got 3 points, which came on their last drive of the second quarter.
We're talking with Aaron Settles, Tuscaloosa News beat writer. You read his work online, TideSports.com, in addition to the T News. And all of our guests appear courtesy of the Budweiser Hotline, presented by Green Beverage. I'm not going to apologize for this at all, Aaron. Last night I got to see Alabama win a men's basketball game. I went to bed watching Auburn get pummeled. I woke up and I've seen 2 overtime basketball games, and we have not yet hit 12:30. That's a nice little 15-hour stretch or so for me. That's not bad.
Yeah, I'm glad it's basketball season. I wish some more fans would have been out to see Alabama last night. I understand it's cold and Monday night, but to shoot, what were they from the 3-point line last night? Chris, 2 of 17, 3 of 17 from three.
They were 1 of about 15 when Justin Coleman hit one of the most important shots of the night with 4.5 minutes to go. So you're right; they finished 2 out of 17 from beyond the arc.
To overcome that, when the other team has a hot shooter, and I know people see the name on the jersey, Western Carolina, but basketball. If you're going up against a hot guy who just, you know, the rim is about as big as the ocean, it makes it very difficult. And for Alabama to not shoot as well from the perimeter and then sustain the hot shooting performance on the other side. And I thought what we saw last night was a little bit of emergence of Jimmy Taylor. Inside presence, rebounding, dunking the ball. That's good because there are going to be nights, I don't care if you're J.J. Redick and the best three-point shooter of all time. You're going to have cold nights. And last night, Alabama just certainly didn't shoot the ball well from the perimeter, but they overcame it and squeaked out a win that maybe last year's team, when they've struggled in November and December, maybe they don't win that game. They won it last night, and we'll see if they can build on it. But so far, I think they're a really fun team to watch. I think they play aggressively on offense, which has been a lot of fans' concern. You know, Alabama's always played great defense under Coach Grant, but they're getting after it on the offensive end. You can't say that they're not a fun team to watch. And I think as the season goes on, the fans will see that, and hopefully we'll see a little better attendance in Coleman Coliseum.
You told me outside when I saw you yesterday afternoon, you really like this team. I think we're going to see a spot. It was not good for the SEC for Florida to lose, and I know they were down about four guys last night, but still they lost to Miami, and that does not look good. There have been some other tough losses, and we haven't even had a full week of the season yet. But what do you think the likelihood, based on what you've seen to date, would be of Alabama finishing in the upper half of the Southeastern Conference this year?
I thought before the season they would. And I think it's tough because it's a young team that hasn't played together a ton, and they've had some injuries even earlier in the season that all the guys are just now starting to get a little healthy. Michael Kessens played his first game last night. I just love the makeup of this team. I wish, you know, if I'm looking at it analytically, they need a big body underneath. They need a quote-unquote garbage man that can get easy putbacks, that can give you five fouls off the bench. But I like what they have at guard. I like Justin Coleman. I like Ricky Tarrant. I thought we saw, you know, what Tarrant can do last night. I know he was a little cold in this first game against Towson. You got to remember he sat out last year. I think Jimmy's progressing. I think Shannon Hale has progressed. I just like the makeup of this team, and I think it starts at the point guard position. They got two guys that can move the ball, and Justin's going to take his lumps. He's a little guy. He's going to have to get a little stronger, especially in league play. It's going to be a little tougher for him, but I like that they have Ricky there. You can kind of show him the ropes. I just like the makeup of the team a lot, this team looks like they enjoy playing together. And I think that goes a long way. You can never really put a value on chemistry, but you know it when you see it. And so far what I've seen is a team that's given a lot of effort on both ends of the court, and they're really supporting each other on and off the bench. If I had to, based on what I've seen in the SEC, I'd be shocked if they weren't in the upper half of the SEC this year.
And Aaron, to your point about them enjoying playing together and the attitude and all of that being positive, there is one example, and I may be overstating it. You tell me if I am. But in each of the first two games, Devin Mitchell was, I think, the last guy to get in the ball game, and he did not see action until the last 10 or 12 minutes of either game. But he came off the bench and was an immediate factor, and he didn't play long in either game. But made his presence known, gave him a spark, and instead of over there as the lone guy, the last one in, maybe pouting because you're coming off a career where you're one of the top scorers in Georgia, the guy came off the bench ready to play. And to me, that says things are pretty good in that locker room and from one end of the bench to the other, and you're not having any issues to deal with here in the early going in that regard.
You hit on the key point in that, most of these guys, if you're playing at a level like Alabama or any school, mainly in the SEC, you were probably the best player in your area in high school. And that transition of being the best and not getting a ton of playing time, it's very difficult for a guy to handle, because not only is he internalizing it all and thinking, why aren't I playing? He's got all his friends back home. Why aren't you playing? He's got relatives. Why aren't you playing? I've seen you play. You're the best one on the team. That kind of fill their heads up. Well, he's been a great teammate. He understands his role. The thing I really like about him is he's not scared to look for a shot. And, a freshman, that can be a big stage for him. But he's come in and made a difference, as you mentioned, and that's what I like, is that he doesn't play scared. And so far, he understands his role on the team. He understands he's got some stuff to work on, some stuff to learn, and he's accepted it. And that's what coaches want. They want a player that will play aggressively when they're in the game, but will also know their role and be a good teammate.
Each week brings its own challenges for both teams and for teams of writers, such as the ones you guys have at the Tuscaloosa News. It's not a huge game in terms of the opposition. So what's the approach this week for you guys as you cover homecoming for Alabama?
It's looking at some of the lighter stories, like I did yesterday with the music, looking for more fan interest stories. There's not a – because what makes it difficult at Alabama, you can't even write the freshman – playing time story, because you phrase that wrong to Nick Saban, you're not respecting your opponent, and it's not about playing. It's not about who you're playing; it's about how you play. So he doesn't want to talk about the backups getting more playing time, because that's not what this is all about. It's about getting better as a team. So it makes it very challenging for us. Because look, Western Carolina's not going to beat Alabama, they're not going to stay within 40 points of Alabama. So we try to look at different story angles, more fan-friendly stories. And I'm also on a good foot. Let's see if I can follow it up this week with something else that grabs the reader's attention.